Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. And if you can't make it in person, you can always join us at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings with our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Our prayer is that we will all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, welcome. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith. It's called Calm in the Storm. Do you need some calm? Is there a storm brewing around you? It is our hope and prayer that you come to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that you leave listening to this message by sowing seeds of faith in your world, your home, your workplace, your school, your daily life. Sow seeds of Jesus Christ wherever you go. Matters not where the seed falls. Matters not if the soil is rich or deep or ready, or if the seed falls on the rocky hard ground. We plant and Jesus grows. If you've been with us, we've been journeying with Jesus for a while, and we're going to look at a passage where Jesus talks to the centurion. We did that a few weeks ago, where Jesus talked to the centurion, and he talked to the leper, and the leper said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean," Matthew 8:2. The good news is Jesus' response in Matthew, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. That message was, "I am willing." This next week, we heard the faith of the centurion as he came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his servant. The centurion has so much faith that he did not need to have Jesus even come to his house. The centurion only asked Jesus to say the word and his servant would be healed. Jesus tells all those following him those powerful words. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Matthew chapter 8, 10. Then Jesus only says the word. Today we're going to turn our attention to one of my favorite little short stories. It's The Calming of the Sea, and it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That means it's recorded in three of the four Gospels. Let us set the passage in its context. Jesus has been teaching and healing many. When Jesus finished his great Sermon on the Mount, we are told by Matthew, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. Let us come to the one who can calm the storms in our lives in a moment of prayer. Lord God of all creation, thank you for sending us your one and only Son to calm the storms in our life. Help us to have the faith to trust that Jesus can do anything, no matter what. Father God, we are willing. We want to be healed. We want our storms calm. Just say the word, and we promise to get up and serve you all the days of our lives. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 8, 23 to 27. It is a short little story, so buckle up, put your seatbelt on, or put your life jacket on if you're in the boat. Listen for God's word. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. The storm on the sea reminds me of another boat story. Noah being tossed in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. Another great story. There was a stormy Red Sea to be crossed by the Israelites when they were fleeing Pharaoh and his army. This story of the disciples struggling on the Sea of Galilee reminds me a little of Jonah, running from God only to be found in the belly of a big fish in the storm of a sea. Jonah is thrown overboard, and well, I think you know the story. For the Jewish people, the sea held a meaning of turmoil, disorder, and chaos. Jesus has taught with such authority that the disciples were amazed by his teaching. At the end of this story, we find disciples in the boat who are amazed that Jesus has power and control over the winds and the waves. Have you ever been caught in a storm that caused you to be afraid? Well, I was. In 1996, my wife and I were driving to an interview for a church job in a nearby town. Bad weather was not expected, but there we were, halfway from our home and halfway from the next city we were getting to or going to, and we were out on a country road. The corn was actually blowing sideways. Trees were being uprooted and tossed around like toothpicks as we drove. The rain was blinding. To be honest with you, we were afraid. Just this past week, we were trapped in a cabin a few weeks ago, we were trapped in a cabin in Lake Arrowhead. That was when they had the snow. We had over 35 inches of snow fell for 3 days and closed the roads. If there was an emergency, well, we could not get out. Again, we tried hard to stay positive, to enjoy the snow that fell continuously for 72 hours. But all in all, we were a tiny bit afraid of the what ifs. Because of our passage today, I've been thinking about storms all week. All of us face storms. It is reassuring to know Jesus faced storms. The disciples faced storms. We find ourselves in good company when we read the Bible. Three points to ponder in this message. Jesus calls us to follow no matter what. Jesus is with us in the storms of life. And the third point, Jesus will calm the storms. So point one, let's consider this. Listen again to the very first verse in verse 22. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Luke records it like this. One day Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Luke 8:22. Mark puts it this way. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Now, in that very first verse, the very first line in this story, we read that the disciples followed, quote-unquote, followed. That is certainly noteworthy. Follow is a profound word. We see here that the disciples had little idea who it exactly is that they were following. Their faith was small, but they were following. They had already chosen to leave their homes, families, lands, and occupations in order to follow Jesus. As always and forever, put yourself in this story. There's a whole lot of spots reserved just for you. A boat, a lake, a storm. The first two are two of my favorite things, boats and lakes. Are you there with me? Are you in this story? In chapter 4 of Matthew, we're told that Peter and Andrew left their nets and followed him, verse 20. And James and John left the boat and their father and followed him, verse 22. In chapter 9, we're told that Matthew abandoned his tax collector's booth and followed him. The disciples will in time learn that there was a great deal more about following to come. The disciples had much to learn about what it meant to be a disciple. But let Jesus give them some credit. They had heard Jesus' call, trusted Jesus, and followed Jesus' summons. They followed. Are you there? Are you perhaps following this itinerant Jesus? Has Jesus stopped by your life and spoken to you? Follow me. Are you on the path of following Jesus? Have you left all lesser loyalties to follow Jesus? Point one of this message, Jesus asked each one of us personally to follow. Point two, Jesus is with us and we are to have faith. Faith. What comes to your mind when you hear the word faith? What is faith? I know that in 15 to 20 minutes, I cannot fully explain what faith is, but let's try. What is faith to you? Webster defines faith as a noun which means, quote, allegiance to or duty or person, loyalty, fidelity to one's promises, sincerity of intentions, belief and trust in the loyalty to God, belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion, firm belief in something for which there is no proof or complete trust. The Greek word for faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, which means to have, quote, confidence or certainty or trust. Faith can also be translated as trustworthiness, guarantee, or assurance, and the same of a pledge or an oath with trustworthiness or proof. The verb form of the word faith is pistuo, which means to trust or to obey or to believe, and in the passive, to enjoy confidence or to confide in. So basically, faith can be translated or defined as belief or trust, belief in, devotion to, or trust in someone or something. So here's the important aspect, especially without logical proof. Faith is the trust without logical proof. I love this last definition of faith. Do you have faith, confidence, assurance, trust that Jesus is who Jesus says he is? Do you have faith that he is in the boat with you? Do you have faith that Jesus will calm this storm that's surrounding you? Without logical proof, faith almost always lives within these three words, without logical proof. Without logical proof, Jesus healed the leper. Without logical proof, Jesus healed the centurion's servant. Without logical proof, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. We could go on and on. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have our prayer team pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, write your prayer. If you want a response, you can mark that down too. Our prayer team will pray for you. We've been seeing some wonderful miracles of God with prayers. We've been talking about without logical proof. Faith comes with those three words. Logical proof that Jesus healed the centurion from a distance, that he healed the leper, that he healed Peter's mother-in-law, gave sight to the blind, raised Lazarus from the dead. Friends, this is a book full of without logical proof. Is your storm big? Good. Message two in this message today. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you in the boat of your storm. You may feel like he's asleep or he's napping over at the stern or the bow of the boat. In your storm, have faith that Jesus is with you and he is who he says he is. So point three. I know it's early for a so what, but here it is. So what? I always say, put yourself in the story, put the story in you. And I always ask myself, so what? So what? Who do you believe in? Who do you believe in? Who do you devote yourself to? So what? Who do you trust in? Whom or what do you trust completely in? Jesus' disciples here had quite a conundrum. In a boat on a lake, too far from the shore to go back, not close enough to seek land, and a storm is brewing. Row harder. In the Bible, the word faith is used as a noun and a verb, depending on your translation, whether it's an NIV or a New King James Version or an English Standard Version or an NRSV. The word faith is used over 400 times. And in some translations, close to 500 times. Listen, faith is a big deal in the Word of God. The Bible is a book filled with faith journeys from start to finish. Faith, confidence, trust, certainty, assurance in a Creator, a Savior, a Lord, a Holy Spirit. If I'm a betting man, I'd bet you too can find yourself in this story today. In our story in Matthew today, the issue Jesus raises is all about faith. Enter into the story. Put yourself in the story and put the story in you. Jesus is in the boat fast asleep. Jesus is at the stern of the boat. The stern is the back of the boat. In the back of the fishing boat that Jesus was sleeping in, there was a rudder used for steering the boat. Picture this now. Imagine the story. The calming of the storm happens early in Jesus' ministry. Before this story, the disciples have seen Jesus teach in the synagogues with authority. They saw Jesus heal Peter's mother-in-law, heal a man with leprosy, and a centurion servant. The disciples heard the Sermon on the Mount and were amazed. The disciples have witnessed many healings. They have seen Jesus perform miracle after miracle. They have heard him teach with authority, even questioned by the religious leaders. It's been another long day in the life and times of Jesus. They are in a boat headed to the other side, and wham, bam, the storm is upon them, and the waves are crashing into the boat. The wind is blowing. The fish are sideways. Oops, sorry about that. That's probably not true. But Matthew tells us, he writes, without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Isn't that how it happens? Without warning? Storms come crashing upon us without warning? Have you ever been out on a lake in a boat? The sky is blue and the waves are smooth. It's a nice day for sailing. And then suddenly, the heavens turn dark, the wind and rain pick up, and you fear for your life. There is nowhere to go. Have you ever been in a boat that is sinking? I think we can identify with these disciples. They are afraid and they cry out. We are told by Matthew, the disciples went and woke him up saying, "Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord." I'm sure they said it several times. "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And exactly where is Jesus? He is asleep on a leather cushion on the back of the boat. The lightning is cracking, the wind is howling, and the clouds are pouring. Everyone is in a panic. The boat is reeling and rocking. The boat is taking on way too much water. And there in the back of the boat is Jesus sleeping. Oh, we're all going to drown. Wake up. I think that the apostles or the disciples pray Jesus' favorite prayer. "Lord, save us." I think that's Jesus' favorite prayer. "Lord, save us." Matthew tells us in verse 26, he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus asks them about their faith. Jesus gets up and quiets the storm. Can you picture the scene? The roaring sea is hushed, the wind has stopped, the guy they've watched heal and do miracles stands before them and says to them, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Well, time to go from preaching to meddling. Look where you are today. We've survived a worldwide pandemic. Our world is forever scarred. Yet here we are. Listen to our Savior's words yet again. Hear them this day. "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Jesus is encouraging our faith in this story. He's with us. He may be asleep in the back of the boat in the middle of the storm, but he's assuring us that he is with us. Have faith, trust, confidence, assurance, certainty. "I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what your storm is, I am with you." Jesus is saying, have faith. Faith must be centered on Jesus. When our faith is centered on Jesus, even if it is weak, it will be met by Christ's power. When we are weak, friends, he is strong. So, Jesus is in your boat. Point number three. Faith in Jesus is what calms the storm. So here's a couple so what thoughts. What is the lesson here? Faith is to be without fear. Or put positively, faith is a form of bravery, confidence. And often faith in Jesus can look, it can look illogical. When I was being interviewed to be ordained, I had to write a personal faith statement of what I believed about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, the church. And after writing my faith statement, I went to a committee to have them review it and question it. They suggested that I take out certain words and phrases. I told them that this was my faith statement. They said that if I did not take out some words and phrases, I would be questioned on the floor before, it was probably about 300 pastors, teachers, professors and elders. And I said, okay, I can do that. I had put my faith statement that I believed in, and I wrote it down. What I believed about the Bible was God's inerrant word. That's what's one of the words that I put down. Believing that God's Bible is inerrant and offensive to some, and was asked to defend my faith. But the one line that made one and many others question me was what I said about Jesus. I said Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And I was asked to change the article, the, before way, truth, and life. The pastor that questioned me said maybe I should put a way, a truth, a life, or he said that the article the was, well, it was too exclusive, and the article a would be better. I told him that in the actual Greek Bible, the article that is used is the. And I did not write this passage. Jesus is the one who spoke it. They sent me out to discuss whether they would pass me and ordain me. I was told that several of the ones that voted against me said I was too confident in my faith. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being too confident in your faith? Let's recap real quick. Jesus asked each one of us to follow him. That's point one. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know your storm. But Jesus asked each one of us to follow him. Point two, Jesus is in the boat with us. He is with us in the storms of life. And point three, our faith in Jesus is how we ride out every storm in our lives. Let me say that again. Our faith in Jesus is how we will ride out every storm in our lives. Wow. Friends, as we walk with Jesus, as we journey to Jerusalem reading the Word, remember this. This book is full of stories of, well, illogical faith. Somewhat crazy people who stepped out in faith and followed. Abraham, Isaac, Noah, Jonah, Moses, the Israelites, the leper. Well, Peter's mother-in-law, the disciples. The stories here are here to encourage us, to build us up in our faith in God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That tornado my wife and I drove through that I talked about earlier, here's the rest of the story. We couldn't see 2 feet in front of us. Trees were snapping all around us. We were in the middle of Nowheresville. My wife looked and said, what's that verse about fear? And I said, well, it's in 1 John 4:18. Therefore, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. We started praying that and ended up repeating that over and over again. Perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. God, we love you. Help us. And he did. He helped us in that storm. We parked the car. 10 times lightning flashed around us and struck a tree and snapped it in front of us. We were at a dead stop in a two-lane country road. I decided to drive into a grass area and park, and we kept saying that verse, perfect love cast out fear, perfect love cast out fear. Here's what we take home today. It doesn't matter what your storm is. Jesus is with you. Health issues, he's with you. Cancer, he's with you. COVID, he's with you. Relationship problems, he's with you. Finances, he's with you. Death, loneliness, grief, and sorrow. Trust me, Jesus is in your boat. He is with you. No matter what the storm, if you have chosen to follow Jesus, his promise is that he is with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Illogical as it may seem, Jesus will make a way where there seems to be no way. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you that you're in our storms. Be with us this day and always. In Jesus' name, amen. God loves you, and so do I. God bless. Have a great day.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.